El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to write a bunch of weekly columns for a bunch of internet places, and I would use those columns to put forth all sorts of crazy opinions. Then I'd come on this show to defend those opinions. But now I don't really do any of that shit. I just do a whole bunch of shows. Joining me today, she is one half of the duo that hosts the IMD Weed podcast. You can hear me on an episode talking about the awful film Skyscraper starring The Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, we're always happy to have her here, Kelly McInerney. Also joining me, he is one half of the duo that hosts the Crime podcast. That's Crime with 266 eyes. He's also a fantastic comic. You should go see him tell jokes sometimes if you get a chance. Ladies and gentlemen, we're also always happy to have him here, John Shefsky. It's going to be a great show. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Unpopular Opinion. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host today, I don't fucking have one. Just me. But I have guests.
Woo!
And that's just as good, if not better. Joining me today, John Shefsky from the Crime Podcast.
Hi, guys. Good afternoon.
Also joining us, Kelly McInerney from the IMD Weed Podcast. And you'll never guess what that's about.
Movies and weed.
Oh, what a combo.
Yeah.
Oh, we did an episode about Skyscraper.
Which was awful.
Which is now available for streaming.
Is it?
If you want to have your night ruined.
I'll pee on it, if that's what you mean by streaming. Shit, Hollywood. Yeah. I'm just glad it's not a comic book movie. Huh? Unless it is, right? Is it a comic book? DC
no.
did a short miniseries called Skyscraper, probably.
No, it's just The Rock.
Without a leg.
Yeah, that's the best part about it. He's missing a leg, and you forget that until he beats someone with it during a fight.
He pulls it off and beats someone with it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
The movie's funny to explain, but watching it was not.
I remember doing the podcast, and it was just like, what do I say about this movie? There was nothing to say. It's a bad movie.
It probably killed in China, though, right? Because it doesn't have any political commentary or anything that the Chinese government will not show.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, it translates easy, right? It's like easy language of human just like...
And The Rock did speak Chinese.
Oh,
he did? Like traditional Mandarin throughout most of the movie, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was weird, but now it makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Are you serious or no?
No, hit it, Brett. You know, the hardest part of this show for me is the first few minutes. Because I spend all that time asking everyone else what's going on in their life. When all I really want to talk about is what I've been up to since last week. And that's why we call this segment, This Week in Me. It's about to get really intense. A lot of guitar riffing going on. I play this on a travel-sized guitar that I keep in my hip pocket until I need it. And I think it really makes the podcast. There it is. Fade it out, Brett. Brett's not actually here. He's off working for Yahoo Sports these days.
Wow.
But we still say hit it, Brett. Okay. In memoriam, rest in peace, Brett. So what are we talking about today?
Also,
note, that was a joke.
Okay. Oh, yeah, no, I realized after when you cut me off and hit the guitar, I was like, I fall for everything. I thought maybe he did because I follow The Rock's Instagram and he does always have kind of these like, I'm just bettering myself. Every second of your day. He's like a Tony Robbins, like Samoan guy that used to be fat. Like, it's just amazing. Like, and he's got that attitude of like, I could see him be like, I learned China in 4 weeks.
I learned China.
Everything about it. I know the food, the culture, Mandarin, like the whole thing. And if you don't, you're lazy. You're going to be a loser your whole life. That's the kind of feeling
he's got a point.
He does have a, right?
Yeah.
Doesn't he have like a workout thing too? Like you could download the Rock app and it like buzzes like workout or something now.
I would certainly hope
something
so.
Like
I could see that.
That's motivation I need in my life. I'm going to look for that after this. So, hey, what are we talking about today? Saturday Night Live!
Ooh.
fucking monsters.
Oh, I could do a good Don Pardo. Ready?
Do it.
It's Saturday Night Live. It's not that good.
Oh, that's like my Bruce Willis
yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Everyone's like, that doesn't sound like...
I know, that's the point.
Those were both really good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're going to be a great parent to your dog or maybe some children someday.
I have a kid. Okay. He's just old.
Okay.
Yeah.
You already have a kid?
Yeah, man. I had a kid when I was 18.
It is
now
weird.
I'm like 42, so...
It is so weird growing up. I still look around like we're all like 16 to 20. I forget that like, oh yeah, we're getting older. We're on the conveyor belt towards the inevitable. I forget.
Good times. How many kids you got, Mac and Ernie?
-2.
Jesus, she's doing it right.
That means two are dying soon.
That's right.
Yeah. At some point.
I thought she was like, we use the clinical vacuum. We're all good here, folks. I thought you were making an abortion riff, but either way, good
honestly,
for you.
Honestly, I was seeing how you guys would react because I was thinking abortion too, but I haven't had one yet.
So we're talking about SNL. They're in the news for having Kanye West on as a musical guest, and he gave an impassioned speech at the end of the show, which got cut off because they ran over time.
I didn't know SNL was still on TV.
It sure is.
Wow.
Do you guys notice this law of average? Only the most boring people in my life will be like, hey, you got to see this sketch, and then they'll hand me their phone and it'll be an SNL sketch. Did you guys have that happen to you?
I love SNL.
Do you really?
See, still?
Love like SNL. Like Lorne Michaels has produced some of the best movies, I think, in comedic history. Yeah, but the sketches, like people, like I said, the most like watered down milquetoast friends will be like, oh, you got to see this. And they'll show it to me like, oh, wow, that really blew my mind. Thank you for letting me see that SNL sketch. Have you ever heard of Key and Peele or Upright Citizens Brigade or like, I don't know, sketches that have balls?
Kelly, do you still watch like full episodes of Saturday Night Live?
I do this.
Jesus,
thing.
Do you have a phone book still too?
Are you on heroin?
No.
How do you sit there and watch a full episode of SNL?
I do this thing for AfterBuzz. I do like an after show, so I talk about every episode of SNL after, you know.
Oh.
Yeah, so I have to watch it. I don't think all of the sketches are good though. Like the writing has definitely weakened in the past few years, but there's always like one really good one, or hopeful usually, or Update is always really good. I love Update.
Even the blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes.
They have some amazing actors and writers on that show. That's what's so weird to me is like you get this concoction of, was it Kyle Mooney? Is hilarious. Did you ever watch his old sketches before he's on SNL?
Yeah, Good Neighbor or whatever.
Oh my God, with Rutherford and the other dude, that stuff. Before they ever were supposed to be on SNL, I had people, the friends that liked good shit, were showing me that. And I was like, oh, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Hilarious. But then you get them on SNL and you watch the sketches on there and you're like, like anybody could play these roles. Anybody could, like, it's just,
I don't know.
What are they doing?
I don't know. They do have some funny Good Neighbor type sketches on it, like they have like a weird like reality show, and it's like
I probably need to tune back in now that I've talked a bunch of shit about it. Like, John, you just need to watch 5 or 6 more years of it and then you'll find a sketch or two that's worthy.
Yeah,
my problem isn't so much with the writing or the quality of the comedy, it's Trump and how they approach Trump and how they've always approached Trump, which it comes up in a bunch of the articles that we read for this episode. They treat Trump like just another president.
Yeah.
And like this is just another moment in history when we just make fun of how the president talks and his movements and shit. And it's so much more dire than that.
Yeah.
And these motherfuckers helped him win. Like they let him fucking host.
But he's probably just like a yacht buddy for Lorne Michaels. Like, Mom, you'll never be president. But come on and host, you know, let's have a drink.
Then Lorne Michaels is the enemy, goddammit.
Maybe,
because
I don't know.
Because Trump is fucking destroying the country. Like, when they let him host, they literally violated campaign laws in the United States. They had to, because as a public network, if you give a candidate a certain amount of time, you have to give all the other candidates that same amount of time. So what happened, they let Trump host, and I don't remember if it was the FCC or who came to them and was like, hey, you have to give all the other Republican candidates that same amount of time in that same time slot.
Yeah.
And so over Thanksgiving weekend that year, the SNL slot, which would have just been a rerun and nobody's going to fucking watch anyway, was just the other Republican candidates like talking about their policies, which... That still doesn't seem fair. I think they all should have gotten to joint host at the same time.
Do you think that like maybe like the rules for like the standards that like Lorne Michaels sets for what they can and can't make fun of is stuff that is more aesthetic because it's stuff that people on both sides could be guilty. Like,
I think that's just how SNL has always been though with their politicians. Like they would always pick out the weird thing and just blow it up. It's not like about a certain like, but yeah, they don't really get too scared, like talk scary stuff, except for Update. I think they've been kind of doing that more.
Yeah, Michael Shea's got some balls, right? He'll go up there and be like, here's what's up.
Yeah.
And he gets mad at him. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
If you say, like, this helped Trump become president, it didn't help Palin and McCain, and they were on plenty of times. They didn't host, but...
Right. They didn't host.
McCain hosted years ago before he was a presidential candidate.
McCain hosted Saturday Night Live? Yeah. Dang!
That's insane.
Dressed up as a woman.
That's
I love
hilarious.
When...
That's badass.
So have any Democrats hosted?
I think they ask them to, but they just don't want to. I think because some politicians actually want to just do politics and don't want to goof around. Like the only Obama only was on it briefly. I think there was like a Halloween episode and there was like a Halloween party where Amy Poehler was pretending to be Hillary Clinton. And a guy came in wearing an Obama mask and he took it off.
It was Obama? It was Obama. Well, that's actually brilliant. Obama's got a great sense of humor.
So one of the articles we read, it was from 2016. And it's Ken Tucker writing for Yahoo. Is SNL helping Trump get elected? And we actually did a podcast about whether NBC in general was helping Trump get elected. One of the things that was really curious to me... in regards to NBC and not just Saturday Night Live, was Meet the Press. If you watch the interviews that Chuck Todd, or whatever that piece of shit's name is, if you watch the interviews he did with Clinton as opposed to the interviews he did with Trump, he fucking went hard on Hillary Clinton in those interviews. And then with Trump, he would just ask a question and let Trump speak his piece and then just move on. Like, didn't question any of it. And it seemed really obvious to me that he was kind of pulling for Trump. I mean, Trump and NBC have had these feuds in public this whole time. But aside from that, it doesn't seem like NBC is at all interested in stopping Trump's momentum at all. Bad for the country. It's not necessarily their job, but like, especially like, to bring it back to SNL, comedians always act like that's our job. Like, we're the ones who fucking we cut through all the bullshit.
Not anymore. Like, no. Not in 2015. Like the alt, it's like music. Like the real stuff, the real country is going on in like an alt scene of country music. The mainstream country, everyone's like, that's country. It's the same thing with comedy. Like the real comedy is like not, it's not the mainstream stuff. I don't think. I mean, who am I to say? But like,
there's
it doesn't feel that way.
Alt country music?
Hell yeah, it's dope.
Oh, yeah, you're Sturgill Simpson. He's better than anything you'll hear on like a regular country western station. And you're
just
like,
maybe
oh,
even get a Ryan Adams album in your life.
Yeah, maybe.
So that's one argument or one of the articles we read. And there's another one that I hadn't read until this called Saturday Night Live Has a Hillary Clinton Problem by Allison Herman, writing for The Ringer. And she argues that SNL kind of, like, during the campaign, they were really neutral. And then as soon as Clinton lost, they were like, hey, we're all in this together. And it's like, who was in this together? Like, you didn't you weren't on our side before she lost. And now that she lost, it's like they're trying. Like, I understand why they would try to play both sides of the fence in normal circumstances. But I feel like under Bush, I don't feel like they played both sides of the fence. I feel like they were really fucking hard on Bush, and for good reason. And they have all that same reason to be hard on Trump, like historically hard on Trump.
Yeah.
And they just treat him like another fucking president.
I disagree, because they had really great sketches about the debates. How nuts he was on it, and how she was like, there was like one where she's like, I got this, like, proud, like, she's got it in the bag and everything. Like, it was pretty clear they were Team Hillary from the get-go, SNL.
But he's not saying that they're not Team Hillary, but there's a certain way that they've been normalizing him. He's the other candidate, instead of like, uh-oh, we got a crazy virus inside our system here, like, this is real bad news. It's more like, it's more normalized, like, we just got another 8 years of a kooky dude we'll make fun of. Maybe next time, folks. Like, there's a feeling of like, well, I guess I blew off some steam about, I purged my feelings about Trump. What else is on the news now? Like, I think it might have some effect like that. I don't know. What do I know about politics and human psychology, right?
So you think they're like, normal people are being like, oh, okay, they're making fun of him just enough. I feel better now.
It almost takes the question. Yeah, it almost like takes the thing out of people's hands. It helps them make decisions like, well, this is the topic right now. It's not that this guy needs to be the hell out of office. It's just that he's a kooky politician, when in fact, he's not even a politician. Like, he's just a fucking
I don't even know him personally, but he seems like a weird, weird dude.
Reality TV star.
Yeah. I want to play a little bit of a sketch that SNL did the weekend Hurricane Maria was fucking killing people in Puerto Rico. I don't know. Is this the shit to make jokes about? I get that, yes, everything. You can make jokes about everything.
Yeah.
But, like, would SNL have done...
You got a new subscriber.
I saw that. So exciting. It's like every time we log in, one a day. That's not a great clip. We need... Pick it up.
Thank you, Sarah. I had to come back. Sometimes when you're president, you have to make sacrifices, so I skip the back nine.
Yeah. I understand, Mr. President. Sir, Mayor Cruz of San Juan is on the line.
I was expecting this phone call.
What bothers me about this exchange here is I feel like if you were a Trump supporter watching this, you'd kind of feel like they were just making fun of the mayor.
Yes, Mr. President, I'm so glad to have you on the phone. I'm begging you. Puerto Rico needs your help.
I hear you loud and clear, and you called the best person for the job. Trust me, I know things are, as the locals say, despacito.
At least we got a Despacito reference in there.
We're going to get
Thank
you
God.
More help yeah. to you. We'll get you immediately, probably by Tuesday or Wednesday at the latest.
Mr. President, that's not good enough.
Well, you should have paid your bills. FEMA takes a few days unless you join FEMA Prime.
FEMA Prime's a pretty good line.
But you're in an island in the water. The ocean water, big ocean, with fishies and bubbles and turtles that bite. We want to help you, but we have to take care of America first.
Wait, you do know we're a U.S. territory, don't you?
I mean, I do, but not many people know that, no.
Sir, we just need help, please.
Well,
my problem there is those weren't really jokes. That was just all the shit Trump was saying.
Yeah.
And it was horrifying. And they just kind of repeat it verbatim and people laugh. And are we supposed to feel better about it now? Like, what is that contributing to speaking out against what Trump is doing when you take the literal things he's saying and put them in a comedy sketch and now they're jokes?
Well, they did that with Palin. They would always do, like, just telling her it was word for word.
Didn't get elected,
right,
man.
Right. I think they were trying that with this. And I think it's also an approach to be like, people that don't watch the news.
Is it SNL's fault? I mean, like, you know, what's that saying? Like, people get the government they deserve or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the people get the comedy they deserve, too. It's like, well, if the major group of American viewers of these shows or world viewers of these shows, if that's what they're, like, going to continue to tune in for, then that's what they deserve. You know what I mean? Like,
but
they're not standing up for Puerto Rico on their own, right? They're not hashtagging it.
None of the people I know who aren't getting paid to do it fucking watch SNL anymore. But, like, in the Midwest, in, you know, the states we always call the flyover states, those motherfuckers watch TV.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're the one, like, Trump supporters are the ones watching.
You don't even have to go to the Midwest. You just go to Modesto.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
my friend's mom up there, she's, like, still watching, like, shows that I'm like, what are you doing? She's like, it's the only thing on. I'm like, well, then turn it off and go for a jog.
It was, like, the most watched season last year in years. And it won, actually, the Emmy Best Variety Sketch. And that hasn't won Best Variety Sketch.
Forever.
Since forever, yeah.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Of all the years.
But also, Bring Back Barack won for Best Song, or won Best Writing. So they had a good like Boys to Men parody song, Bring Back Barack.
That's pretty funny.
They are pretty liberal, but it's just like, I think they are scared to show how terrifying Trump is, but they do save it for update.
Well, can I ask Adam, what would a sketch, let's write a sketch right now, what would it be like that would show how terrifying, like what's the right way?
I don't know that there should have even been a sketch about that. There were 9/11 numbers. Like, that's how many people died.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
In Puerto Rico. Like, it's one of the biggest tragedies that, like, I can't imagine SNL days after 9/11 running a sketch like that.
Yeah.
It kind of trivializes the problem. Like, there's just some things about Trump that aren't fucking funny. Like, we talk about him all the time on a bunch of these podcasts and they're comedy podcasts, but it's not so much because we find it funny. It's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
I've tied my livelihood to comedy podcasts, so we have to sneak in jokes. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. I feel like there's always that argument that, like, why even give him attention or give him that kind of press? And I feel like Like, I don't mind Weekend Update for addressing Trump. Yeah. Because then it's more of a direct, like, stand-up comedy kind of thing where you can talk for as long as you need to talk. Yeah. You don't have to be a character. Like, they made that argument in this article, and I agree with it. I agree that a monologue is a good way to address Trump. Comedy sketches, it just feels forced and counterproductive because, like, one of the other articles we read, also written by Ken Tucker, writing for Yahoo, Saturday Night Live and the Ineffectiveness of Humor in the Trump Era. His argument is that Trump's not that kind of president. Jokes aren't going to affect him. It's not a matter of, oh, we're writing this sketch and it's really going to fucking stick it to Trump. Trump doesn't give a shit and his supporters don't give a shit.
Yeah. He gets pissed, though, about SNL.
That's just another sign of his pettiness and how weak he is, where you're just like, man, he's a petty, like a dictator like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think Obama or his administration ever really cared about anything that happened comedic to him, right?
Right.
I don't even think first Bush administration,
president.
Too.
Yeah, this is the first president that came out about, like, complaining about SNL.
While, like, atrocities are going on that he's fucking up on, or his administration's fucking up on, or our government could be handling, and he's, like, sending out these tweets that you're like, that's what you're thinking about right now while you're taking a shit? You're not, like, you don't have your face in your palm right now freaking out about deaths or suffering of humans? You're worried about your ego? It's a trip. I don't know if the answer is for SNL to not joke about him through sketches and just have it in Weekend Updates. Maybe that is the way to do it. I don't know. The whole society that elected him is the fucking part of the problem. The whole group of people that finding out stuff about him, like the news that they read that's totally twisted and go, that's just the Democrats or the libtards trying to just screw everything up. And you're like, well, there are wacky Democrats and wacky liberals trying to screw some things up, but it doesn't take away from a wacky conservatard trying to screw everything up too, you know?
And that's
what freaks me out, is that the like I said, just like the viewership, getting the president they deserve and getting the, you know, and we are all in the same freaking boat with this guy.
My argument is the same argument a lot of people have, that SNL just kind of normalizes it.
Yeah.
And
I see that.
One thing I also, this was more, I mean, not more Jimmy Fallon related. It is Jimmy Fallon related. But one thing I noticed from him, and he's also part of NBC, is his sketches running up to the election. His sketches involving Hillary Clinton hit on her, like the issues that she wasn't that great on.
Mm-hmm.
And with Trump, it was just all his hair and like how he looked and like just like really surface shit.
Yeah. Aesthetics again.
Yeah. Where you could have gone for like, there's so many things.
Yeah.
Like, can we get a sketch about Trump being fucking accused of rape? Like,
yeah, no one talks about that anymore. Did that stuff get solved anymore? What?
Yeah, I mean, it got solved in that we don't talk about it anymore.
I mean, there's got to be a law of average that if you're a rich and powerful dude, at some point you'll probably get accused of rape. But like when the list starts building up, you start going like, man, like a lot of people are accusing you of this stuff. And he's had quite a few accusations, right?
Well, some of them have been from underage girls.
And not like underage like 17, underage like 13-year-old kids, right? Like stuff where you're like, what the fuck is going on in that, you know, in that world?
Yeah. It's just, I don't know. I feel like they never really, I feel like...
They had Stormy Daniels on SNL on Update and stuff like...
That's not that interesting of a story. Oh, a rich dude fucked a stripper? Whoa, stop the press. I'm more interested in, this guy fucked a kid? We need to investigate.
Get that kid on SNL.
Yeah! Oh, dude.
High five across the room.
That kid on SNL. Hosting this week. I don't know.
I think they normalize it and stuff because we use comedy kind of like as an escapism. We don't want to know about the serious... We deal with it all the time.
That's
like,
why
on
Doug Stanhope should be
stuff.
The head writer on SNL. We'll get some shit done!
Yeah, but the whole point of SNL is to laugh and like be... like.
Sure. No,
you know, and
I'm
just use it.
Antagonist.
Yeah.
My concern is that we're laughing at Trump while it's happening.
Yeah.
Like most of those things we laugh about after they're done. Like I have a flashing 9/11 sign in the studio.
I fucking get it.
But 9/11
Twin Tower candles right next to it.
9/11 happened years ago. I don't remember exactly when. I forgot.
Yeah.
But like with Trump, it's like it's actively happening right now, and I feel like a lot of these shows, I feel like a lot of people take what SNL does and any of these late night shows as cool, we addressed it,
sure,
let's move on.
That's what the entertainment industry does.
Yeah, but it's like we haven't addressed it.
Like we haven't, our list.
Yeah. Disney is part of all these companies that destroy the environment. But what does Disney do? They go, we made a movie about penguins. Aren't we into nature over here? It's like, well, you're also supporting all people. Yeah. Basically, they're stopping to laugh at these things or smile at these things and be entertained by them when it's at the point where we're like, no, you should still be holding a shovel. We got stuff. We got work to do still.
Yeah.
And you're stopping to laugh at this as it's happening. Like, it's not over yet. There's a child that's screaming that needs to be helped right now underneath a pile of rubble in Puerto Rico.
Right.
And you're stopping to watch the SNL and be like, Trump won't do anything. It's like, well, get your ass and do something.
It's hard to say, like, what the response should be.
I don't know. I feel like there could be people, like, saying this stuff when W was president. I mean, he's not far as bad as Trump. But, like, they always have to make it lighter because I'm just going to keep – it's like an escapism. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know? And – I think now that they're dealing with this different monster of Trump, who's like way worse than anybody, they don't know how to make it different. Mm-hmm. So they're still sticking to the same formula as what they've done before with other presidents.
Yeah.
And that's what SNL has been known for, just political commentary. Even during elections on Thursday nights, they have the special SNL, like half an hour show or whatever.
Right.
At the update desk. So I think that's just what they're just used to doing. And they don't want to change it because they've been around since 1975 and been, you know, like a household name.
Yeah, I do. I hope it's that. I hope it's just that. Because there have been, like, there was the thing that happened at ABC where the creator of Black-ish left to go to Netflix. And the reason they left is because they wanted to do an episode that was like an anti-Trump episode. Mm-hmm. And ABC was like, no, we're trying to appeal to Trump supporters. That's a huge demographic and we're a business. And so what if they're the new Nazis? We want to just... You know, make television.
Make them like me.
Yeah, we want to make television for them. And it's like, those motherfuckers aren't watching Black-ish anyway, for starters.
Yeah.
But they were still like, no, you can't air that episode. So I hope it's just SNL can't figure out how to tackle this. And I hope it's not them going, all right, we'll make fun of Trump, but in a way that's like not really making fun of him.
Yeah.
And they have people on, like, I think Chappelle was the first host after the election.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I watched that episode.
And that monologue. That much. So they have people. So, like, if we can't, like, we're known for doing this, let's have a controversial host to wreck it up, you know?
Yeah. They took it really seriously after the election.
Yeah.
Just not leading up to.
Oh, that is a good point. Holy shit. That is a good point.
I think also we all lived in the bubble, you know, the liberal bubble, especially New York and, like, all the coasts, you know? And I don't think anybody realized he was going to win. I don't think SNL realized Trump was going to win.
All the big touring comics, Chappelle and Burr and several others, I think, maybe even Rogan, like the big touring comics,
yeah, Chappelle
all
said
like, you guys don't know what's going on. Like, he's probably going to win.
I wrote an article in October of 2015 about why Trump was going to win and why we would eventually compare him to Hitler.
Yeah.
And all of the shit fucking happened. Like that, it was... It like
well, the majority of the people, like, in the liberal bubble.
And that, like...
We can't blame it all on SNL, though, Adam.
No, we can't blame it
because
all on SNL.
There's a lot of reasons.
There's a lot of reasons Trump got elected, and I'm not arguing that SNL is the reason Trump got elected.
Sure.
I just don't think SNL or any of those late-night pundit-type comics that we look to as being this, like, source of information and the voice of what's really going on... They all failed us.
No, but that's...
And then after the election, they were like, oh, let's all stand united. It's like, motherfuckers, you should have taken it more seriously before.
But that's like an acceptance in our society that we all need, that you and me need to do. That we know better than that. Those people are not like spokespeople. They're not the Socrates of our generations. They're not the
Bill
Burrs.
But you'd be surprised how many people on the left do take it that way. Like, there's so many people who just get their news from fucking
Comedy
Central.
Or CNN or any of the mainstream stuff. Like, they're all owned by small groups of people that are manipulating things, whether it's left or right. Like, you should be more grown up and start learning how to critically think and do research. And a lot of people in society either A, don't know how to do that because it's not part of our educations and Western like upbringings in modern times. And a lot of people just don't have time to it. I know people that are just exhausted that have jobs that they just come home and they go, what's on? And I'll just get brainwashed by this for half an hour and fall asleep. And so they just don't even know, like, hey, you haven't even gotten to the point of like maturing and being an adult to realize, like, Stephen Colbert, although he's an amazing comedian and probably has great personal opinions, he doesn't have time in his show. Bill Maher doesn't have time to, like, he interviewed Steve Bannon the other day on Bill Maher. Sorry, I'm getting off topic. But, like, he asks these dumb, quick little questions, then cuts him off in the middle of his stuff. I was like, man, I want to hear what this fucking dude has to say. He's a weird dude.
Yeah.
And you could really grill him. Instead, you cut him off in the middle because Bill Maher doesn't have time to, like, that's why podcasts are huge now.
Yeah.
Because people, like, smart people, want to sit down and hear a 3-hour argument between a bunch of people that they might not even agree with, just to hear what people are really thinking. You can't get that from SNL. You can't get that from CNN. You can't get that from the quick like news shows. They're just there to entertain. They're just there to make you go, okay, cool. I got informed when you didn't get informed.
Right.
So the bigger thing from this is to not look to SNL or anything, and God help all of us, because no one's going to change their ways. But like, people shouldn't be getting their true news and their true opinions from mainstream shit.
They should know that by now. Look at look at the history, you know, like HW1 and like all during the whole SNL history, they haven't won people over, maybe with Obama or whatever. Like, even they didn't even make fun of Obama because they were just like attacking McCain and Palin and stuff. Like, it's not SNL's excuse for us fucking up and voting for this dude for president.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm going to blame it on the individual, because that's where I'm at in my life. It's just like looking at society and be like, I'm at peace with where everyone's at. I hope that no one blows us all up or kills all of us in some weird way. But my God, like, there's just a lot of stuff where the individuals are not taking responsibility. Like, you should still watch SNL, but you should watch it. Like, you shouldn't have a fatty steak every day and French fries, right?
Yeah.
But like, once a week or once every other week, have that. But like, people's steady diet, just like the fast food they eat, is to constantly consume like SNL and consume the late night shows.
Be entertained by it, but
all
don't
milk toast.
Learn. Yeah.
You're living off of what do you call it? Simple carbs. You're living off of processed food for your brain. And it's like, you should be eating healthy most of the time. And then you're going to watch Jimmy Fallon and laugh at, or Seth, I was going to say Seth Rogen. That'd be a fun late night show. Seth Meyers, right? joking about dicks with Judd Apatow and Seth Rogen. No, you just watch these things, but like once in a while. But people, it's their steady diet. And it is over time. It does normalize things. It does brainwash. And maybe it does get some of these assholes elected, because people are just kind of like, oh, that's our president. It's already been told to us.
Yeah, it's they tell you what you should be mad about when it comes to Trump. When there's... almost always something even worse
right on the head,
like, that no one's talking about. That if you just hit up a couple like other news sources, like, you could find the shit. You mentioned CNN. One of the things, like, I gave up on CNN a long time ago as an actual news source.
Sure.
One of the things that really did it for me, there was Trump put out this executive order, and I don't remember which one it was. There were so many in the early part of his presidency. And I turn on CNN and they're like, well, we're waiting for Sarah Huckabee Sanders to tell us the content of this executive order. And the fucking thing had been on the internet since 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And it's like, just go read it and you fucking decide what's really controversial and inflammatory in there, instead of waiting for the fucking White House press secretary.
Who's proven herself time again to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
they're trying to be too like follow the rules.
Right.
Did you watch Wolf Blitzer interview? I think it was Wolf Blitzer interview Bernie Sanders after he was screwed by the DNC. It was like watching a seventh grader ask questions. And I'm not blaming Wolf. You know what I mean? He's just working his job. But I'm saying, how can I watched the whole thing. And I was like, how do we call this news?
Mm-hmm.
He asked Bernie the dumb, like, he's like, but like, how did it make you feel to lose? And Bernie was trying to like talk about serious issues and whatnot, and trying to just push his message forward and being optimistic about, I didn't personally win, but here's what we can still do as a people to move forward. And Wolf Blitzer's cutting him off going, but how did it make you feel, like, emotionally, Bernie? And I was like, oh my God, fucking MTV owns the whole world. Disney owns everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but I'm just sitting there going, like, it really is. They like the it's trickled into all of the stuff to turn it into just dumb people entertainment. Where you go, who's watching Bernie Sanders? This guy, I don't care where you are on politics. I don't necessarily vote either way, but I look at Bernie Sanders. I go, here's a guy I want to at least hear what he has to say.
Right.
At least hear his intelligent opinion. And what are they doing? They're going, but like, how did it make you feel? I don't give a fuck how Bernie's feelings were hurt. I'll read that in his memoir about the, I want to hear his plan for what he was saying he was going to do to fix the country.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they cut him off to ask him, how are you feeling? And then the interview ended.
And it was over. And so you can imagine people in the break room.
Well, how was he feeling?
Exactly. Right? And as humans, we are interested in those things. But again, these are indulgences that people, in my opinion, we should all be like, yeah, I'll tune in once in a while to get a little blip of this stuff because it's funny to see. But this shouldn't be what I consider news and educating myself about the world around me. Good Lord. Any of them. They're all just wacky, dude.
Is there any good like political
Jimmy
comedy?
Jimmy
Dore
does
right?
some decent political commentary.
I do some pretty good political commentary.
I love how you tuned in. That was so adorable.
I have a politics podcast.
You're on
Good
it.
Luck America.
Oh, okay.
No, but I mean like sketches and stuff, you know, like... that's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to do. It's hard to do it without feeling sad about it. Like, you can talk about dark stuff, like stand-up wise.
We should
and
have
everything.
A funeral for social commentary sketches like they did for the N-word. And we'll just stand around like a grave and be like, social commentary sketches, you were great while you lasted.
You went to the funeral for the N-word?
No! God, no! I've resurrected that word in many...
I just want to pay my respects. So, what did everyone think of SNL having Kanye host? Like,
he didn't host, he was the musical guest.
As the musical guest.
Okay.
He usually is a great music, like, he usually puts on a great show, like, visually. So I understand why. And also, for ratings, baby. Ariana Grande was supposed to be the musical guest, but she backed out. And
she's so fucking great.
Yeah.
She wouldn't have ranted about Trump at the end of her performance. No.
But also, it was brief, and it was cut off on, like, live TV. You had to, like... Google that.
I'm entertained by Kanye's love for Trump. I mean, I think it's hilarious because I like seeing people get their panties and like ruffled up. And
but
I
it's
such
he's an
political.
Idiot. Like who cares?
I don't want to call him an idiot, but he's just he's an entertainer, and he's you know
it's neither of those things. If you like, this goes back to the article I wrote in 2015. Like people
get it, you write.
No, I know that
since 2015. Yeah, you're
I
not
know
a rookie.
That.
You're a trendsetter. You were ahead.
Well, here's the next thing I'm going to be right about his immigration plan. He's going to push those to black people primarily. If you read his early campaign stuff that he put on his website as soon as he launched his campaign, it was all about how illegal immigration actually impacts black males the most.
Interesting.
And the person who basically wrote his immigration plan is a black dude named Peter Kersenow. As inconsequential as Kanye West endorsing Trump as adamantly as he is right now, as inconsequential as that feels, it's actually part of what Trump is building up to. And it's just a furthering of what is ultimately going to be a presidency that fucking kills millions of people.
Yeah.
Because it's very clear that the plan is deport brown people and give their jobs and homes and whatever else to black people. No one's arguing that like the black community needs help and like the government has ignored that community for a long time. But are Democrats going to be ready with an answer besides, well, let's just deport brown people and because they're here illegally and then we'll shift all those opportunities to black people? Like, is the left ready to make that argument, or are we just laughing because Kanye West is supporting Trump? Because Kanye West supporting Trump is not funny. Like, he's still, like, when he starts deporting people, he's still going to be hitting on racial tensions. It's just racial tensions between black people and brown people, which, fucking Google it. It's very much a thing, especially in Los Angeles, in places where you wouldn't expect Trump to be able to make any headway. So I get that no one gives a shit what Kanye West says, but a lot of people do give a shit what Kanye West says. And the next high-profile black celebrity might not be Kanye West. What if it's fucking Cornel West? What if it's someone that people actually respect who comes out with a really logical argument about how illegal immigration impacts black people the most? And they're like, so we got to fucking deport millions of people. No, you don't. You just need to provide opportunities for everyone.
Yeah.
We have the money. We have the fucking space. We can do that. The left is just going to campaign on Trump's a racist and why would you ever vote for him? When I guarantee you what he runs on in 2020 is going to be all about lifting black people out of poverty.
Sure.
And then what's the left going to look like when we're going?
The left's got Obama, baby. Yeah. Like he's going to come out with something smart and being like, yo, hey, I'm a black guy and I'm the number one. Like
we can't elect Obama again.
I know, but I mean, listen to me because you elected me before and I didn't fuck up as much as Trump.
You just brought up a great point though.
this whole thing has kind of led up to, and we're talking about things that have gotten Trump elected. You look at the mainstream left. I'm not talking about the intellectual left and, like, you know, the smart people on the left, but you look at the mainstream left and the people they support and the messages they push forward, and they've helped elect Trump because of, like you said, they're living in the frickin' past on things.
Yeah.
Obsessed with Hillary, who's, I don't know Hillary personally. I haven't read her biography. I read stuff about her over the years. I've read about the Clintons and blah, blah, blah. She's just a typical politician involved in a bunch of awful things. I can't tell you how many people I still know that have brought her up. It's like, oh, if Hillary would have this and Hillary that. The left's like still sitting there. Meanwhile, Trump and his strategists and whatever else of their movement are figuring out things like what Adam's talking about of, well, how do we market to black people next? But I feel like the mainstream left gets caught up in that Hillary obsession and in these things that you go, we got real problems over here, and you guys are trying to they're taking care of things that aren't they don't need to be taken care of. Meanwhile, like I said, Trump's getting elected and other, you know, I think the right is totally able to also take a take what a crazy leftist, hysterical leftist will say, and turn that into, they show it to their friends and they go, see how these libtards are what they plan on doing to our country? I mean, I see it because I know people on both sides of this argument and I just see it all the time. You see what the libtards are up to? And so every time liberals get, let the mainstream hysterical liberals take the wheel of the bus, we kind of lose more to the crazy conservative side. And I'm not saying there's not like crazy people on both sides. You know, I have friends on both sides, but I feel like that's very much like the left, the mainstream left living in the past. When's Obama coming back? He's not coming back. Grow the fuck up. Let's start figuring shit out. Who's our next candidates that are going to go for 2020? Because right now Trump's building up steam.
Mm-hmm. I don't think a majority of the liberal people are living in the being nitpicky and stuff like with Bill Maher and the
their representatives in mainstream culture seem to be.
Well, yeah, that's a lot of in entertainment. It's all those people.
Sure.
I think a lot of the people that were living in the past are going to realize their. I don't think they were necessarily living in the past is that they just didn't want to have a woman president. So then when like Bernie didn't win, they're like, I'm not going to vote. And all those people that didn't vote fucked us all.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think it's just like now that they realize, oh, we made a worse decision when Trump comes with this whole like immigration thing, they're going to be like, nah, you're not going to get us this time.
Yeah.
I'm hoping for. But who knows?
There's gotta be.
No, what'll happen is the left will run like John Kerry or Joe Biden. And again, this time it'll be, well, I'm not going to vote for an old white dude, so I'm just not going to vote. And the old white dude in office will stay in office.
I think they've learned, like, it's just like what happened with W, and that's how we got Obama because, like, oh, he fucked up so much. We need like it. That's how it always seesaws.
Yeah, a pendulum swinger.
Yeah,
I mean that's if we have elections in 2020. There's always
the Trump commentary of like we should try that around here. Did he say that when he's talking about like North Korea with the dictators for life or whatever? He's like we should try that around here. Like I know he was just riffing, but also that guy's riffs scare me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You don't know what he takes seriously. Yeah.
He's not a good comedian. I don't trust his riffs to be like, ah, oh, he's just riffing. I'm like, that guy kind of seems like the kind of guy that would want to be president forever.
So a couple articles we won't have time to get to, but is anyone at all empathetic for Kim Kardashian?
No.
Who was embarrassed by Kanye's rant?
We don't know her personally, so we can't say how she's really going through this stuff, but she's spent some of her time. She's tried to talk to Trump about prison reform. I mean, she could just be out trying to sell her purses, right?
Right.
And she has taken the time to, I mean, I don't know how hard the time was. She would flew a private jet there, talked to him for 10 minutes, took a photo, and then left. Or if she spent a long time planning what she was going to say or whatnot. But she's tried to have prison reform. Let's give her credit for that, right?
Yeah. That was the thing about Kanye's Instagram post where he talked about abolishing the 13th Amendment. And people were like, what? That's the amendment that ended slavery, you idiot. But there's also a clause in there that says if you're a prisoner, you can still be used as slave labor. And that's what he was talking about. And that is a thing that should be overturned.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you Trump is going to start talking about that at some point. And some motherfucker on the left better be ready to have an argument also or an alternative plan that doesn't involve freeing people from prisons and either deporting people or putting brown people in those prisons as immigration detainees.
And I think also the generalizing that we do too on the left side of saying brown people, Trump will, he's going to appeal to, when we go say, look, he wants to get rid of brown people, Trump's going to appeal and say, I'm not saying brown people, I'm saying illegal immigrants. And he's going to have a ton of, quote, brown people that are going to vote for him. Like, oh, see, He's not going after us. He's going after illegal immigrants.
Yeah, we saw that in the 2016 election. Yeah, Trump's going to get reelected. That's all.
I think so.
I think he will.
I feel like he definitely will.
I don't want to have a self-fulfilling
prophecy.
Well,
if nothing else, we'll be at war with someone by then, which...
Hopefully it'll just be a war that we don't have to worry about with hired killers, right, guys?
When
we
can so go back
Venezuela.
Today. Venezuela?
Yeah, it'll be Venezuela.
Oh, Lord.
It's so weird talking to people, like you guys, that are like, oh, he's going to get reelected again. But then I was just talking to somebody the other day, and he's like, I got a bet with my friend that he's not going to last 4 years. No. So it's...
Yeah.
Everyone said he was going to get... All my liberal friends, like, he's going to get impeached. There's no way. And I was like, just... Why don't you calm down and let's like actually watch this, because it doesn't look like he's going to get impeached.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think he's going to get impeached.
No. He's probably going to get reelected. I mean, look at where we're at right now. We should already kind of know like who our next Bernie Sanders kind of guy is or girl. Do we?
Yeah.
Do we know?
Yeah, no, we should be rallying behind at least just one or two candidates.
I'm telling
by
you,
now.
As somewhat of a, I don't know even know if a centrist is a good word these days, but as someone who just kind of watches the human race do a bunch of silly shit all the time on both sides, I just continually see... The liberal side, which has so many important points and progressive things that we need to push forward for the human race, I continually see them worrying about petty things and getting involved in petty arguments, basically. Almost like you're in a break room at work and you see the different power positions of the different people who can do what and who's doing what. And I see the liberal side constantly getting involved in petty shit and not having honest conversations about stuff that Trump, even though Trump's not having honest conversations about immigration, refugees, what do you call it, jobs, the economic stuff. But those conversations that Trump's been willing to have, even though Trump has been giving the right answer for the wrong reasons, is what's going to continue to make him win. The left won't have a lot of conversations that Trump's willing to have. And even on podcast circuits, conservative podcasts will host people, liberals that have weird views and whatnot. I have friends that have been telling me for years, Jordan Peterson is a Nazi. So I said, let me go listen to Jordan Peterson. I listened to like 100 Jordan Peterson podcasts. I still haven't figured out that this guy's a Nazi. And these are my liberal friends that are like, that guy, you listen to that guy? He's a homophobic. He's a Nazi. He's blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, man, I listened to 100 hours of this guy now. Still haven't found out this guy's a Nazi. And I find that all the time. My crazy conservative, my libertarian friends or whatever, or my gun-toting friends, they'll talk about anything. That's the shit that even if they're wrong, the fact that they'll talk about anything, they're going to continue to win. That's what's scary, is because we need a balance in this country.
Yeah.
We need the gun toters and we need gay people smoking weed. We need all that stuff so we can work together and hold the pillar up. Both sides right now are like, your side's the end of our whole country. And like, until we can, and since they have the power, they're going to stay in power with that shit. I feel like my liberal friends and my experience in LA, the people that can't have a conversation are mostly my serious hysterical liberal friends, not the intellectuals, but the hysterical liberal friends. And there are a lot of them in the comedy world even, which has been scary in the past 2 or 3 years, because it didn't used to be like that 8 years ago.
Yeah.
2 or 3 years, there have been conversations I've had with comedians in San Francisco be like, oh my God, you're getting up to walk away. We're just chatting here, smoking a joint. You can't talk. I never have that problem with my conservatard friends. I never have that problem with libertarians. But when you sit down with, I'm not trying to blame sides, but I'm saying this is what's going to help the people that you're saying, we got to get them out of office. You're going to help them win because we can't have certain conversations.
That's obviously a problem in this country. It's been a problem in this country for a long time that people don't want to like cross the aisles.
It's gotten weird lately, though.
It's gotten weird because one side is borderline fucking Nazis. Like, that's what I'm saying about normalizing this shit. This isn't a normal moment in American history.
Yeah.
Like, it is actual Nazi shit that's happening in this country. And I'm not going to be swayed by that side's fucking argument.
Sure.
Like, I know where it's going.
We're not worried about you. Like, people like you and me are still going
to... should worry about me.
Oh, shit. We just insulted his ego. He's like, I'm a fucking tough motherfucker. You better watch yourself. No, but I'm saying the people that are on the fence, like I met a real estate agent when I was looking at houses that was in an open house, and the guy started off right away. He's like, Trump. And I was like, huh? I mean, I walked into an open house, right?
Yeah.
And you can see the people that are on the fence that were like, I was kind of going Bernie, but now I'm going Trump. Like, and I can't worry about them psychologically. Like, oh, they shouldn't be on the fence. They're on the fence. We just have to face that. And when you don't talk about certain issues, when you can't let them speak their mind and let them at least let some of the fuse out or whatever, purge some of their evil thoughts or whatever, I think we build up like a group of people that goes, well, I'm on this guy's side. He's got me. He's got my vote. They're just looking for evangelist preachers to take their brain for them, you know?
They don't want to think.
They don't want to think. But some of those people could be taught to think if we can talk to them and at least hear their concerns.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I get that. That's the whole point of politics. You know, like, you got to talk to people to kind of sway their opinion. But I think liberals are too used to just talking and not taking action.
Mm-hmm.
And now you got to start taking some action because shit's going down, you know, like Nazis are coming. And I think that's why like liberals are kind of freaking out more and like getting so sensitive about discussing stuff, because they're just like, all I knew how to do is talk.
Yeah, but that's the wrong answer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Censorship and all
so
that.
So what are
what
some
the
of the legitimate concerns you've heard from your conservative friends that made them think voting for a racist was okay? Like what is there to be on the fence about?
Some of them don't vote. One of them.
Okay, well, fuck those motherfuckers.
One of them is a super nice dude. He's a charitable man in his own life, and in his view, he's caught up in the. He just sees the twist on the side of the story that's. They called him a racist because he said this, but what he really said was this, and he did this. And they show you the article, and you go, well, I can see how you see it that way. Sometimes I get the, he's a racist. And they go like, well, look what he did here. He's friends with this guy. He's a black guy. Is that a racist? You're rolling your eyes, and that's how I feel too. It's like none of these things show us a lot.
Yeah.
But you can just see where the argument comes from. And some of these conservative people, they'll watch the conservatives. So they'll watch Fox, and they'll be like, CNN's all bullshit. And I'll be like, you are right, my friend. It is all bullshit. But you know what else is all bullshit? Fox.
Yeah.
But you get the sides picked. And because the Republicans or the GOP or the conservative spirit right now is in control of the country, they can get away with being a little sloppier. Like the general conservative citizen can get away with being like, see, this is what's going on. See, we're doing this right.
Yeah.
So,
and he makes them more relatable too. They are like, I know him. You know, like the way he talks and everything.
One of the big things that this that weird real estate agent was telling me was, I'm tired of being told I'm a racist because I have views on immigration. And you know what? Hey, but you know what?
Sorry, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Don't have those views on immigration.
Sure, but you can say that, Adam. And to me, I understand where you're coming from. I know you're a good person, and I know you care. But to that guy who is from a different world than what you and I are from, raised by different parents, raised by a different microculture, whatever section of America he's living in, he's seeing things from a way of like, he's got that South Park, like, they took our jobs. And even if he's wrong and doesn't know, he needs to be educated, not told, well, you're a racist, fuck off. Cause he's still going, oh, I gotta feed my family. And he's still, just like the Somali pirates. You're like, fuck these Somali pirates. You're like, well, why are they Somali pirates?
Right.
They have nothing else. Well, fuck these people shooting the last endangered rhino. Well, why'd they shoot that? That's that last piece of ivory might feed his family for 1 week, and that's what that guy's living on right now. He's not seeing the world from our perspective. And the correct answer is to say, we got to educate this guy, we got to figure out some stuff, and we need to just try to address his problems and not just be like, well, you're a pirate, or you're a poacher, or you're a racist. What we need to stop and be like, oh shit, I don't know what the answer is. Don't get me wrong. I don't know how we can take a large population of people and change their mind.
There has to be like a middle ground, I think.
I don't know what it is. You know, is it a Mr. Rogers at a FEMA camp for a large group of people? Like, all right, guys, today's lesson is empathy. I don't know, but I have faith that we'll make it through.
I think we just need to outvote them and listen.
Sure, yeah, that's the other thing.
Just simmer in their fucking incorrectness for the rest of their goddamn lives.
Totally.
Well, they just like vote for the one guy, whereas we'll be like, oh no, I'm gonna use my vote for Jill Stein, or like the fucking idiots. Like, why?
Just speaking of Russian influence, thank you, Jill Stein voters.
What Jill Stein? I don't know much about the Jill Stein.
Well, they would just vote for her instead of Hillary. I forget what. Like,
is that considered a wasted vote or something?
Yeah.
Man. I don't know. That's another tough
one. Or just write Bernie on the thing, and it's like, just why are you being an asshole right now? You're like, the country is at stake.
Of all the elections to take that stand, I will not hear a valid argument from anyone as to why this was the election to take that fucking stand.
Yeah.
With fucking Trump on the other side, and now you're all of a sudden like, I'm too good for either of these candidates. Fuck you. You deserve to burn with everyone else who did vote for him. There is no valid argument for supporting Trump. You fucking have the blues over trade deals. Fuck you.
A lot of these people aren't
educated.
We'll
sort out trade deals. And that's not my fucking job.
I know.
It's not my job to educate them, and it's not my job to feel sorry for them that they made a terrible fucking decision that so many people leading up to that election were saying, don't do this. This is a terrible idea. Like, I don't buy that people didn't know who they were voting for. Like, Trump was all the news.
Nope. Some did, some didn't, Adam. I didn't know until like 2 months before. I was like, oh, this guy, I just thought like politics as usual, scumfuck after scumfuck. Some look and talk more like scumfucks, but in general, scumfucks. Like, some of them have better manners and they are more charming, but they're all sending people off to get killed, little kids off to war. They're bombing and drone striking and doing weird shit. You know what I mean? I didn't know until 2 months before. And I listened to a few podcasts. It's like, well, Trump, I listened to like his immigration policy with illegal immigrants. And I was like, holy shit, we can't let this guy in. He's going to start shipping grandmas off. Like, weird shit, right?
Mm-hmm. He's already shipping grandmas
off. I know, but this was 2 months before the election. So right. This is several years ago. But I didn't know. I legitimately just didn't know until 2 months before the election how bad it was. And then I was like, oh, I got to go and vote. But for most of his campaign, it was him versus Hillary. After Bernie was out, I was like, yeah, this is just a bunch of trash. And so yeah. So in looking at some of these people that you're saying are, oh, fuck them, I'm like, some of them I have a little empathy for. I mean, some of them obviously are alt-right Nazis that are hoping for a new Hitler. But I think there's a good portion of them where just like, I didn't know. I saw a few blips on the news that said this guy believes in this. And
I mean, he said he grabs women by the pussy.
Oh, I can't believe that didn't make him lose right there. You hear a president say that on TV and you go like, Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And the fact that like that his side, the conservatives who are always so proud of Judeo-Christian values, were just like, yeah.
But they're also so proud of their fuck women values,
I guess.
Yeah. And I think a lot that played into it.
Yeah. But also not all of them are from that camp.
I get it. Like, not all Trump supporters, man. But fuck them anyway. Like, they did this. Like, I feel the same way about the people who just like, out of protest, didn't vote. It's like, man, I hope your name is written down in a fucking history book someday in a bad way. I hope there's a fucking asterisk next to your name that says did nothing when the fucking Nazis took power.
Well, I hope that they don't have power for long so that we don't have the history book going, oh, when it got real bad. I hope it just is bad for a few years and we learn from it.
Like, it'll go back to the other side again.
Please,
so
Lord Michaels, give us someone good to vote for.
We'll have another bad person. The Rock might run.
I'd vote for The Rock.
He has like a website, Rock 2020 or something.
Oh,
I think now
God.
We're bringing in this new type of nobody cares about politics. They just want a celebrity or something, somebody that you like, which is not a good idea.
That's what I was saying. Western people with their 2 second attention span and inability to critically think. I just want another person I can recognize the name, because the name's the brand. I'll check that one off my list.
Yeah.
Like, it's just knuckle dragger world shit right now.
The Apprentice fucked us.
Oh yep.
My God. Yeah.
It's ultimately The Apprentice. It's NBC's fault. I've come back around. Everything's NBC's fault.
Was that an NBC show?
Yeah.
The Apprentice? Yeah.
Adam's had, he's known this, you know, the whole secret to this whole, it is a conspiracy.
Yeah. I thought I was going to end this by saying, okay, it's not NBC's fault, it's everyone's fault. Nope.
I think you're right, though.
All NBC's fault.
It's kind of all the plots on the
Write
map.
It down.
Also, you can't see him, like, all the when he first hosted in 2004, you can't find any of those sketches. Like, he dressed up as a chicken, like, a chicken restaurant, and you can't, like, there's little clips of it online, but not the whole sketch.
I'm telling you, this is all the yacht parties. This is the closed room, like the exclusive little groups and their yacht parties. And we're trying to estimate and try to figure out, like, why this and why that? And it just kind of comes back to, like, it's just old, good old boys, you know, right? Sharing cocktails and don't say this, don't say that. Well, he's in office. You just buy the opposition, right? Isn't that what Stalin said?
Oh, man.
We're going to be all right, though, Adam. Don't worry.
No, I don't think we're going to be all right, but.
Guys.
We should probably. Does anyone?
I'm ready to die. Yeah. I'm okay.
Does anyone have any final thoughts on Trump before we read some comments? Quick,
we're gonna get through it and be all right.
Let's hope so.
I don't know.
Please, guys, be optimistic at the end of the podcast.
Oh no, I don't. I have no optimism. I feel like we at least have 6 more years of Trump to deal with.
Oh God.
But we'll see.
Hopefully 2. I'm saying hopefully 2.
John.
Is
Trump getting reelected in 2020?
I'm here to announce.
We'll come back 2 years from now and review our answers.
I'm sending my writing packet to SNL today, and I'm also running for president in 2020, guys.
I think he's going to get reelected. All right, let's read some comments. You know, it's a big world out there. It's easy to feel like the things you say don't even matter. But I want you both to know that's not true. That's why we call this segment Your Voice Matters, where we read these motherfuckers' stupid goddamn comments from the past few shows and respond to them personally. Fade it out, Brett, eventually, whenever this clip stops playing. I could, like, fade it out myself. But
I like how you said personally.
Personally.
It's very, like, Delilah. Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like,
I'm trying to
Light FM.
lure these people in. Matthew Donison. More like Dongison. Sorry, Matthew. Hey, Adam, you've talked about Canada getting their own Trump in the next few years. Look into Doug Ford. He's the current leader of Ontario. He's the brother of Rob Ford, who you might remember as the crack-smoking mayor of Toronto. I have looked into Doug Ford, and yes, he is Canada's Trump. I've been saying for a long time Canada will get their Trump 8 years after we got ours, because Canada is always about, if you look into like politics, Canada's always about 8 years behind us.
Totally.
Oh, so the guy, because the guy right now is super hot, that's their Obama.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Justin Trudeau is their Obama.
I get that.
And my friend has a calendar of Trudeau in her house.
Right.
A Trudeau calendar.
Where do you get one of those?
Greg Maesta says, you motherfucks are hurting my fat little feelings. I might have to hit up Sonic before work. Anyone here ever eaten at a Sonic?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's so good.
On the way to Chatterbox, I always stop at a Sonic.
And the one in Fullerton? No. Where's it at?
It's, I don't know. It's before Covina.
Okay. Before Covina.
On the way to there. To
Covina. I need to get booked on that show now so I can hit up a Sonic. I haven't been to one in...
Shakes?
Yeah,
shakes.
They normalized hash browns coming or tater tots coming with your like with food as, instead of fries.
Their tater tots are phenomenal.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Good. I'm glad this is a pro Sonic crowd.
Oh,
like
yeah.
I've had previous Sonic has come up a lot lately for some reason.
You've had anti-Sonic,
and there's a lot of anti-Sonic sentiment, and I don't fucking like it because Sonic puts out a good product.
I'm not huge into the food, but any place that has like the option of 200 types of milkshakes, I'm in.
They really do have a lot of combos.
Lots of slushes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Lots of dessert treats.
Not a good place for a meth addict to go that's indecisive. But if you're a stoner that'll just take anything, a lot of smoothies. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Clinton J. Beardsley. Between Swaim confusing the drive-in chain Sonic for the hedgehog and all the talk about chili dogs, this episode made me want to go back and watch that Jaleel White Sonic the Hedgehog cartoon from the 90s. What? That's a thing?
There's a cartoon of Sonic the Hedgehog, yeah.
And Jaleel White is in it?
I didn't know he was in it.
The kid from the Steve Urkel is in it?
The term Sonic made them think of other things that relate to Sonic. I thought of an SR-71 Blackbird, too. Interesting.
I mean, I did think of the Hedgehog, too.
I suppose. Another fucking Sonic comment. Shadow 007. That's probably 007. I have not eaten at Sonic's due to the fact that you're forced to eat it inside your car, making it smell like food or spilling something.
Not true.
Can't take it home because the food will be cold by the time you arrive. I'm not taking my chance on the never washed three tables outside with the sun shining and noisy streets to eat like an animal.
That's what I was going to mention.
They got
the table.
Eat on the table. Oh, I get some germs. What do you want to?
It's fast
plastic
food.
Bubble pussy. Come on. Go have some freaking food on a picnic table.
They clean the tables. What nasty Sonic are you hitting?
What are you expecting? A Panera? This is Sonic,
right,
dude.
It makes you stronger, right? You're in Fullerton. You're not going to get Ebola.
Yeah.
Right?
And here's the thing. Just go to the Sonic in San Diego. That's a sit down Sonic.
Is it? Ooh.
It sure is.
Everything's
how weird
in San
is
Diego.
That? It's by the Comedy Palace. Mm-hmm. I was there for another cracked thing, but there was some comedy festival down there and we did a live podcast. And afterwards, the only like reasonable place to eat without a huge wait was Sonic. And it was a sit down Sonic.
Yeah.
That is the wave of the future right there.
Mm-hmm. They have a drive through Dunkin' Donuts here in Burbank.
Yes.
That's the way of the future,
dude.
I'm
trying to eat healthy today, but this is apple fritters and weird milkshakes.
I think
today.
I'm going to stop there now that I've realized we're in Burbank and it's there.
All right, last comment. Matthew Duff says, Nightmare on Elm Street 2 is very gay.
Mm.
The director says he didn't realize it at the time. Everyone else on the set couldn't believe that it was such a progressive movie for the time. I really need to rewatch Nightmare on Elm Street 2.
That's the only one I haven't watched because like I watched them with my ex and he's like, you don't have to watch the second one.
Oh.
Because it's like, doesn't make sense also, does it?
Is he alt-right? Is that what's going on with your ex? It doesn't make sense? Well, it was born that way, ex. Nightmare 2.
Yeah, everyone's homework from this episode is go watch Nightmare on Elm Street 2. That's a new thing I'm going to start doing is just issuing people homework.
All right.
And
how do you check back?
In 2 years when we settle our bets on whether Trump's going to win again.
This podcast suddenly became a lot of work. Hey, what dates are you available? I can't do homework, Adam.
send me a report.
It's hilarious.
I'll read it on the air.
I can't watch that movie. It's too scary.
What do we have to plug before we get out of here? Patreon.com/unpops. $5 a month, you can get bonus episodes of all the podcasts I host, and you can get all of our podcast episode ad free, except for the ads like this that I put at the end of every episode,
those
baby.
Are fun.
Yeah. And end of the month, last Saturday of the month at the Hollywood Hotel, there will be a live episode of Unpopular Opinion. I know we said that about September and then didn't do it, but we mean it this month. We'll probably do some Halloween shit.
Halloween?
Good times. Actually, our first live podcast at the Hollywood Hotel was Halloween-ish last year. 1 year anniversary!
Yeah! That was for Halloween. That was a werewolf.
John Chevsky, what do you have to plug besides werewolves?
Besides where I'll plug a werewolf. right in his little tutor. is that the silver bullet?
Okay. Yes.
It's the only way you can get a werewolf to have sex with you. Silver bullet, it's dead, but tell you.
Coors Light? Quick,
they're still warm.
Coors get them drunk?
That's right. Get a werewolf. That now, that
wow.
Is. Now, what side of this argument are you on? Huh? I'm not going for Supreme Court in front of you. You guys can you can check me out at Crime on iTunes or SoundCloud. That's Crime with Three Eyes. It's a true crime comedy podcast, and it's really a lot of fun. You guys will love it. It's super weird and a lot of riffs. Crime with Three Eyes.
Nice.
Yeah.
Kelly, what do you have to plug?
You can check out my podcast, IMD Weed, and you could imdweed.com, iTunes, all that stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, let's get the fuck out of here. Kelly, say goodbye.
Bye.
John, say goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Bristol Street.